Unlikely Leaders, Chapter 56, John is exiled to lonely Patmos. After more than half a century, the enemies of the gospel succeeded in persuading the Roman emperor to use his power against the Christians. In the terrible persecution that followed, the apostle John did much to help other Christians courageously meet the trials that came to them. The old, tested servant of Jesus repeated the story of the crucified and risen Savior powerfully and eloquently. From his lips came the same glad message, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1-3. John lived to be very old. He witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. As the last surviving disciple who had been closely connected with the Savior, his message had great influence. His teachings led many to turn from unbelief. The Jews were filled with bitter hatred against him. They said that their efforts would be useless as long as John's testimony kept ringing in the ears of the people. In order to help people forget the miracles and teachings of Jesus, they must silence the voice of this bold witness. So John was summoned to Rome. His enemies hoped to bring about his death by accusing him of teaching traitorous heresies. John answered for himself in a clear, convincing manner. But the more convincing his testimony, the more deeply his opposers hated him. The emperor Domitian was filled with rage. He could not dispute the reasoning of Christ's faithful representative, yet he determined to silence his voice. John was thrown into a pot of boiling oil, but the Lord preserved his faithful servant, as he preserved the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. As the words were spoken, "Thus perish all who believe in that deceiver, Jesus Christ," John declared, "My master gave his life to save the world. I am honored to suffer for his sake. I am a weak, sinful man. Christ was holy, harmless, undefiled." Save from the boiling oil. These words had their influence, and John was removed from the oil by the very men who had thrown him in. Again, by the emperor's decree, John was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Here his enemies thought he will surely die of hardship and distress. Patmos, a barren island in the Aegean Sea, was a place to banish criminals. But to John this gloomy spot became the gate of heaven. Shut away from the active work of his younger years, he had the companionship of God and heavenly angels. They outlined before him the events that would take place in the closing scenes of earth's history. And on that island, he wrote out the visions he received from God. The messages given him on that barren coast were to reveal the established plans of the Lord concerning every nation on earth. Among the cliffs and rocks of Patmos, John had fellowship with his Maker. Peace filled his heart. He could say in faith, "We know that we have passed from death to life." 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. In his isolated home, John was able to study the book of nature more closely. He was surrounded by scenes that many would think were gloomy and uninteresting, but to John it was not so. While his surroundings might be desolate, the blue heavens above were as beautiful as the skies over his beloved Jerusalem. In the wild, rugged rocks, in the mysteries of the sea, in the glories of the sky, he read important lessons of God's power and glory. John was happy in his exile. Around him the apostles saw evidences of the flood that had covered the earth, rocks thrown up from the great deep and from the earth by the gushing waters, the mighty waves in turmoil, restrained by an invisible hand, spoke of the control of an infinite power. And in contrast he realized the weakness and folly of mortals who glory in their supposed wisdom and strength and set their hearts against the ruler of the universe. The deepest longing of the heart after God, the most fervent prayers went up from the exiled apostle. The history of John illustrates the way God can use older workers. Many thought that John was long past service, an old and broken reed, ready to fall at any time. But the Lord saw fit to use him still. In Patmos, he made friends and converts. His was a message of joy, proclaiming a risen Savior interceding for his people until he would return to take them to himself. After John had grown old in the service of his Lord, he received more communications from heaven than during all the earlier years of his life. Older workers who have given their lives to the work of God may have physical weaknesses, but they still possess talents that qualify them to stand in their place in God's cause. From their failures, they have learned to avoid errors and dangers, and so they are well able to give wise counsel. Though they have lost some of their vigor, the Lord does not lay them aside. He gives them special grace and wisdom. Those who endured poverty and remained faithful when there were few to stand for truth are to be honored and respected. The Lord desires younger workers to gain wisdom and maturity by associating with these faithful men. Let the younger workers give them an honored place in their councils. God wants the old and tested workers to do their part to save men and women from being swept away by the mighty current of evil. He wants them to keep the armor on until he asks them to lay it down. Trials are worth the pain they cost. In the experience of the Apostle John, there is a lesson of wonderful strength and comfort. God causes the plottings of wicked men to work for good to those who maintain their faith and loyalty amid the storms of persecution, bitter opposition, and unfair accusations. God brings his children near to him so that he can teach them to lean on him. In this way, he prepares them to fill positions of trust and to accomplish the great purpose for which he gave them their powers. In all ages, God's witnesses have run the risk of being falsely accused and persecuted. Joseph was slandered and persecuted because he would not compromise his virtue and integrity. David was hunted like a wild animal by his enemies. Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. Job's body was so afflicted that his relatives and friends abhorred him. Jeremiah's testimony enraged the king and princes so greatly that he was thrown into a terrible pit. Stephen was stoned. Paul was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, and finally executed. And John was banished to Patmos. These examples of human faithfulness tell us of God's abiding presence and sustaining grace. They testify to the power of faith to resist the powers of the world. In the darkest hour, our Father is in control of our lives. Jesus calls on his people to follow him in the path of self-denial and shame. He was opposed by evil men and evil angels in an unpitying alliance. The fact that he was so unlike the world provoked the most bitter hostility. This is how it will be with all who are filled with the Spirit of Christ. The type of persecution changes with the times, but the spirit behind it is the same that has killed the Lord's chosen ones ever since the days of Abel. Satan has tortured the people of God and put them to death, but in dying they bore witness to the power of one who is stronger than Satan. Wicked people cannot touch the life that is hid with Christ in God. Prison walls cannot bind the Spirit. Believers in Christ, persecuted by the world, are educated and disciplined in the school of Christ. On earth they follow Christ through severe conflicts. They endure self-denial and bitter disappointments. But in this way they learn how terrible sin is, and they look on it with horror. As participants in Christ's sufferings, they look beyond the gloom to the glory, saying, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Romans chapter 8, verse 18.